It Was a Riddle, Not a Command, by Joseph de Monde. Foreword. Behold, I am sending you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahuwah. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the sons, and the heart of the sons to their fathers, that I not come and strike the earth with utter destruction. Malachi 4, verses 5 to 6. And he shall turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1, 16 to 17. The voice of him who cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of Yahuwah, make straight a highway in the desert for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made level, and the rough places smooth. And the glory of Yahuwah will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahuwah has spoken. Isaiah 40, 3-5. Therefore repent and convert, so that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, who before was proclaimed to you, whom heaven truly needs to receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet to you from your brothers, one like me. You shall hear him in all things, whatever he may say to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. And also all the prophets from Samuel and those following after, as many as spoke, have likewise foretold of these days. Acts 3, 19-24. And he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and plot to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times, and one half time. Daniel 7:25. I decided to use the same foreword for this book, It Was a Riddle, Not a Command, as I did in my last two books, Remembering the Sabbatical Year of 2016, Breaking the Curses by Obedience, and the 2,300 Days of Hell, the two witnesses, Joseph's 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, published in 2013 and 2014, respectively. Looking back on all that has been accomplished since 2004, when I began this journey, I can now see clearly how it has all been for a reason, and one reason in particular. The weekly newsletters I launched in 2006, of which you can sign up for, have all proven to be instrumental in educating people about the sabbatical years and how they are related to the curses which are globally unfolding all around us right now. They have also been teaching those who come to our websites about keeping Torah, the law, and walking in obedience to Yahuwah. The speaking tours and the production of my first DVD in March of 2008 regarding the chronological order of prophecy in the Jubilee cycles was a direct result of my previous newsletters that went out each Shabbat regarding the very same subject matter. My weekly newsletters have continued each week since 2006 and resulted in the prophecies of Abraham, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done in 2009, which was then published as a book in 2010, followed by being nominated for a Nobel Prize in 2011. How many other religious books are afforded this once-in-a-lifetime distinction? The prophecies of Abraham show you the sabbatical years and jubilee cycles from the creation of Adam to our present day. They then compare the events in each jubilee cycle, demonstrating how the curses of Leviticus 26 and the life of times of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph reveal prophetic events for the 120th Jubilee cycle we are now living in. My second book, Remembering the Sabbatical Year 2016, was written to answer the many questions and objections that keep coming up with regard to the sabbatical years and to empirically prove from the Bible and history when the sabbatical and jubilee years actually are. My third book, The 2300 Days of Hell, published in 2014, explains the Daniel 9 prophecy and how it could only be understood by understanding the jubilee cycles and how this prophecy was never about Yeshua, contrary to popular belief. This is a very detailed book and has shocked many once they have read and proven it for themselves. My fourth book, The Blood Moons, The Elephant in the Room, also published in 2014, examines the many blood moon warnings that have come upon the earth during the spring and fall holy days before major events that began with the death of Adam and have been recurring throughout the history of Israel on up to this 120th Jubilee cycle. This blood moon warning can only be understood when you use the barley to begin the year and the crescent moon to begin the month. My current book, It Was a Riddle, Not a Command, published in July 2019, was produced as a direct result of many Christians attesting to the scripture, "No man can know the day or the hour," in reaction to the many truths revealed by the sabbatical years and jubilee cycles. This book shows you the truth behind the Hebrew idiom or parable, in that it actually does tell you the day the Messiah is to return, that very day and hour no man knows. All of my books, speaking engagements, presentations, answering of emails and phone calls, as well as appearing on radio and TV shows and my presentations being featured on the many videos hosted on our website, have all been done for one reason and one reason only. That is to help people know how to restore the keeping of the sabbatical years and jubilee cycles, as well as the holy days of Leviticus 23 and the weekly Sabbath, all of which reveal end-time prophecy. This is the very thing the book of Malachi instructs us to do, and we would all do well to remember. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. Malachi 4, verse 4. Everything I have produced and shared with the public thus far has been for one reason and one only, to turn the hearts of the children back to the Father, our Father, Yahovah, to be specific, and in so doing that very thing, turning back to Yahovah, the Torah, the Sabbath, the holy days of Leviticus 23 and the sabbatical years, so that in turn our Father turns his face and heart once again towards us, lest he smite the land and us with a curse. It has not been for fame or glory, and it surely has never been for the money. I still have to work at a full-time job to pay for all I do. No, the reason I do this is so that you, the brethren, can learn about the sabbatical years, the jubilee cycles, and the amazing prophecies they reveal to us in these last days. But if you do not start by keeping the weekly seventh-day Saturday Sabbath, and the holy days as well, you will never fully understand these prophecies. Again, if you do not keep the holy days as you are commanded to in Leviticus 23, then you will not understand the prophecies told to you in the Bible. But the keeping of the Sabbath is only the beginning. If in fact you are keeping these two laws, but you fail to keep the sabbatical years and the jubilee cycles, you will not and simply cannot understand or fully grasp the prophecy specifically being revealed to us in these last days either. You are, at best, just guessing at them. To be certain, we are beyond a shadow of a doubt now in the last days, as each of my books and DVDs have clearly demonstrated to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. It is only by keeping the weekly Saturday Sabbath, the annual holy days that are shown to you in Leviticus 23, and not adding to it nor taking away from it, and by keeping the sabbatical years as told to you in Leviticus 25 and the jubilee cycles, that you can fully understand and comprehend the meaning behind Daniel's 70 weeks. I'm about to show you things that will truly challenge and stretch your mind to the utmost as you grow in your understanding of these things. It will make you angry with those who have been teaching you amiss all your life because they never showed you these things, or worse yet, even so much as hinted at them. Some of your teachers, in fact, have lied to you, either by their own ignorance, by being deceived themselves, or worse yet, willfully. So says Yahovah, for three transgressions of Judah, yea, for four, I will not turn away from it, because they have despised the laws of Yahovah, and have not kept his commandments, and their lies after which their fathers walked led them astray. Amos 2, verse 4. For the leaders of this people lead them astray, and those who are guided by them are swallowed up. Isaiah 9, 16. Then you shall say to them, because your fathers have forsaken me, says Yahovah, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk each one after the stubbornness of his evil heart, without listening to me. Jeremiah 16, 11-12. O Yahovah, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction, the nations shall come to you from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and there is no profit in them. Jeremiah 16, 19. Let them alone, they are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's Matthew 15, verse 14, or Luke 6, 39. Knowing that you were redeemed from your futile way of life, inherited from your fathers, not with what is corruptible, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, as of a lamb unblemished in these last times for your sakes. 1 Peter 1, 18-19. Parents can and do lead their children astray, and then their children grow up to lead their own children astray, and so it goes. Yahovah bestows upon each one of us not-to-be-taken-lightly responsibility of not only validating everything we are taught to make sure it's in alignment with the word of Yahovah, but also to train up our children in the way they should go in accordance with all the things Yahovah has revealed to us through his word. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. The spiritual well-being, just as their physical well-being, of all children will always be dependent upon the parents' faithfulness to Yahovah. Children, by teaching and by rote, will believe and practice the religious beliefs of their fathers and or mothers. The very spiritual livelihood of your children with regard to their eternal security depend wholly on you obeying Yahovah and teaching them truth from Scripture, and not traditions of man, which cannot be proven or have no spiritual merit or true spiritual substance. And he shall turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Luke 1, 16-17. In all of this, remember this one prayer that Moses wrote of in Leviticus 26, which is later repeated by Solomon in 1 Kings, and then by Daniel in the book of Daniel. If we repent and turn 180 degrees and turn back to keeping Torah, then Yahovah will forgive us and remember the covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He will then remember us, protect us, and take care of us in earnest from that moment on if we just do our part and keep doing our part. We are told in Exodus that if we do not obey him, he will send the punishment on our children and children's children to the third and fourth generations. But if we choose today to repent and obey, then he will show us mercy, of which in the New Testament is called grace. It was always right there in Exodus all along, mercy and grace, if we repent and obey. You shall not bow yourself down to them, nor serve them. For I, Yahovah, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of those that love me and keep my commandments. Exodus 25-6. If they shall confess their willfulness and the willfulness of their fathers, with their sin which they sinned against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me, I also will walk contrary to them, and will bring them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts are humbled, and they then pay for their iniquity, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham I will remember. And I will remember the land. The land also shall be forsaken by them, and shall enjoy its Sabbaths, while it lies waste without them. And they shall accept the punishment of their iniquities, because even because they despise my judgments, and because their soul hated my statutes, and yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I hate them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. For I am Yahovah, their God. Leviticus 26:40-44. But for their sakes I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, so that I might be their God. I am Yahovah. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which Yahovah made between him and the sons of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Leviticus 26:45-46. And Solomon stood before the altar of Yahovah in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward the heavens. And he said, Yahovah, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keeps covenant and mercy with your servants, who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David my father what you promised him. You also spoke with your mouth, and have fulfilled with your hand as it is today. And now, Yahovah, the God of Israel, keep with your servant David my father what you promised him, saying, there shall not be cut off from you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, if your sons take heed to their way, so that they walk before me as you have walked before me. 1 Kings 8:22-25. And now, O God of Israel, I pray you, let your word be proved to be true, the word which you spoke to your servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this house which I have built? Yet, O Yahovah my God, you have turned toward the prayer of your servant, and to his request, to listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you today. For your eyes to be opened toward this house night and day, toward the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, to listen to the prayer which your servant shall pray toward this place. 1 Kings 8:26-28. And you shall listen to the cry of your servant and of your people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear in heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. If any man sins against his neighbour, and if an oath is laid on him to cause him to swear, and if the oath comes before your altar in this house, then hear in heaven and do and judge your servants, to declare the wicked to be wicked, to bring his way on his head, and to declare the righteous to be righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. 1 Kings 8:30-32. When your people Israel are crushed before the enemy, because they have sinned against you, and shall turn again to you, and confess your name, and pray, and cry to you in this house, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel, and bring them again into the land which you gave to their fathers, when the heavens are restrained and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. If they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants and of your people Israel. For you shall teach them the good way in which they should walk, and give rain on your land which you have given to your people for an inheritance. 1 Kings 8:33-36. If there is famine in the land, if there is plague, blasting, mildew, locusts, if there are stripping locusts, if their enemy encircles them in the land of their cities, whatever plague, whatever sickness, any prayer, any supplication from any man of all your people Israel, who shall each know the plague of his own heart, and shall spread forth his hands toward this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you, you only, know the hearts of all the sons of Adam. Do this so that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you have given to our fathers. 1 Kings 8, 37-40. 37-240. And concerning a stranger who is not of your people Israel, but who comes out of a far country for your name's sake. For they shall hear of your great name and of your strong hand and of your outstretched arm. And if he shall come and pray towards this house, here in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calls to you for, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name, to fear you, as your people Israel do, and that they may know that this house which I have built is called by your name. And if your people go out to battle against their enemy, wherever you shall send them, and shall pray to Yahovah toward the city which you have chosen, and the house that I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their cry, and maintain their cause. 1 Kings 8, 41-45. If they sin against you, for there is no man who does not sin, and if you are angry with them and have delivered them up before the enemy, and they have been led away captive to the land of the enemy, far or near, yet if they shall think within themselves in the land where they are carried captives, and repent and pray to you in the land of their captors, saying, "We have sinned and have done perversely, we have done wickedly," and so return to you with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies who led them away captive, and if they pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, to the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name, then hear their prayer and their cry in heaven, your dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you, even all their sins which they have done against you, and give them pity before their captors, so that they may have pity on them. For they are your people and your inheritance, which you brought out of Egypt from the middle of the furnace of iron. 1 Kings 8, 46-51. For your eyes shall be open to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your people Israel, to listen to them in all that they call for you. For you have separated them from among all the people of the earth to be your inheritance, as you spoke by the hand of Moses, your servant, when you brought our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord Yahovah. And it happened as Solomon finished praying all this prayer and petition to Yahovah, he rose from before the altar of Yahovah, from kneeling on his knees, with his hands spread up to heaven. 1 Kings 8, 52-54. It is time to repent from disobeying Yahovah and refusing or failing to fully observe his Torah. All the indicators are in place that we are at the end of this age or in the last days. May Yahovah bless you in your understanding and comprehension of the things I am about to share with you.